Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
We have the time and a busy schedule to be here. Russell preaches for the Culioca Church of Christ. He and his family moved to the area last year. Russell is also one of the Bible teachers at Columbia Academy. And he and his wife, Rennie, have two children, Brennan and Isaac. And I believe Rennie's also a teacher. And which school is she? She'll be at Culioca, teaching at Culioca this fall. And so we're thankful for this family. They've come to this area from Tupelo, Mississippi, where Russell had served as the youth minister for the West Main Street congregation there for 15 years. Again, Russell is someone I've gotten to know through various area-wide activities, like Horizons at Fried Hardeman, and I've always been thankful not only for the hard work and just hours he's put into ministry over the years and influencing the lives of young people, but he's got a great connection with teenagers, that he's always had a heart for ministering, and you see that even on display at Columbia Academy. And I know he's doing a great job preaching for the Culioca congregation, and so we're thankful that he's with us, and we know we'll be blessed by his message tonight. So Jack will lead us in a couple of songs, and then we'll have our time together in the Word.
I spent a week at church camp last week, so I've got my bottle of water. Weather, outside, screaming at kids. No, I don't scream at kids. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I don't scream at kids. So happy to be with you tonight. I'm glad you're here with us. And I'm happy to be here. The first time I ever walked through any of these doors was in about 1997. I think, visiting some friends, and so I know a lot of common folks, probably that you know. I won't get into their names, we'll talk about it later, but a lot of folks about my age that were in the youth group here in the early 90s, here visiting with some of them, and so I've been here before for that, and I have enjoyed so many things that the Graymere congregation has done for ministers throughout the years. And I've really enjoyed through the years all the times I've been able to come up for the Youth Ministers Workshop, and that was really exciting to be a part of. And I appreciate all the young preaching training camps that you've done here. Of course, Kirk Brothers was here, and he was down in Mississippi for a while. I know what it's like to follow Kirk, Andrew. I followed him at Christian Chapel, and that's tough because Kirk did everything, you know. And what a hero of the faith to me. What a great encourager. So I enjoyed him, and I enjoy what you're doing for preachers also with your the preacher training. My first year to go to that this year, because I'm a preacher now, right? I preach. So I talk to adults now. I don't do the hippo song. Well, I do the hippo song, but not all the time. So I've enjoyed my memories here at Graymere and the contacts and the people, and just the many ways that the kingdom has really been busy here. God is using the folks here in many ways, for many years, and the kingdom's been blessed because of your heart of service, because of your heart and your love for the Word of God. And for your support and prayers for your elders and ministers and your hardworking deacons. So thank you so much for this opportunity. I love Vacation Bible School. You know what I'm talking about? Joel, you love EBS, right? You've got it coming up soon. Next week, is that right? This past week. They had it last week out at Scribner's Mill. I was at my church camp down in Alabama, so I missed out. Did y'all have a good one? Love EBS. I love doing Vacation Bible School. And do you love EBS? This is yes. This is no. This is going to be a class, and the way I kind of do classes, I talk until you talk, okay? I don't do very well with, like, throwing something out and saying, what do you think? But I might do that, but I just would rather you say, hey, Russ, let me throw this out there. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit back and say, what you got? Let's hear it. Let's talk. So get your Bibles out. Be flipping those around, flipping through those. Maybe you have pages. Maybe your Bible is like mine, and it's just one piece of glass, and you'll be tapping that. I don't know. But we'll be in the Bible tonight. And really, I got to tell you, I've been asked to speak on a few things now that I've become a pulpit guy, I guess. I've been asked to speak at more things, and I get that. I understand that. And so I've been given some topics, some assignments, some things to think about, and all of them have been great. And then Andrew sent me a message, man, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and ever since he gave me the message, I've been scratching my head. You know, love the Lord your God with all your mind. You know, I don't know if you saw the kids up here tonight, but they were up here and they were singing the songs and they were, you know, they're up here and they were participating in everything. And then whoever it was, I think it was a young lady over here, said something about, because you're doing CrossFit and we're getting stronger and better as Christians in every way. And she said something about, we're going to be strengthening the mind. Did you see the kids? Oh. I got tickled back there. I thought that's not the reaction she wanted, but you know, strengthening the mind, and so that's intriguing, and that was a challenge for me to think about for this class. And I hope that we can learn and get something out of the things I've prepared. I hope. Mark chapter 12 verse 30 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your." Let's try it again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. There we are, and with all your strength. So mind, I looked at this word, and Andrew, I'm going to mispronounce this because I don't know Greek, but there are several websites that do. Dianoia, right? That's the word I've got. I don't know. Maybe I pronounced that wrong. But that's the word here for mind. And the idea is deep thought, properly the faculty, the mind disposition. And the King James translates this word in the following manner: mind, understanding, and even imagination. So we know kind of what we're thinking about. We're the mind. Okay, how can I make my mind stronger for the kingdom? There's a difference between heart and mind. And there's a big difference to me, and I understand the connection also. But I understand making decisions with the heart, and I understand making decisions with the mind. Sometimes we make decisions with our hearts, and that involves feelings, and our feelings change. They change from one day to the next. But when we make decisions or we think about things, and we're guided with our mind, we base those things on facts, don't we? We base those things on Scripture, on commands, in our Christian lives, and in anything in life, really. When we use our minds, those things really never change. Facts are facts. You know, things are things, and those are certain things. And so we have to kind of understand that there's a little bit of a difference. Heart, emotion, feeling, mind, thinking, knowing, facts. So there's a little bit of difference in those things. So what does this mean then, to love God with all of our mind? Let me just open it up. What does it mean to you to love God with all of your mind? Let me hear what you say before I jump into what I prepared to say. Go. All the abilities and talents and things that God's given us, make sure by using our mind that we use those things to give Him glory 24/7. Okay? Wonderful. Next.
I think it's kind of complicated because when I look at...
I do too. Amen.
It says, be of the same mind, all of you.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we all agree on the same thing and we're like a bunch of bees in a hive, right?
That's interesting. We're different. People are funny people, aren't we? That's my one thing I've come up with that I use. And people go, huh? And I kind of, yeah, huh? People are funny people. We're not all robots or bees doing exactly the same thing, but have the same mind in you. And Paul says, that's the mind of Christ, right? Have that mind at least driving our minds a little bit. Okay, who else? Thank you. Y'all been really quiet over there. I'm going to get you to do the hippo song if you don't talk. Thought process. Yes. Everyday process are thoughts and mind. Andrew, you have anything you're thinking? Andrew says go. He says, I preach all the time. Just go, he says.
And
yes, sir.
And many translations say
understanding and mind. Okay, wonderful. Good comments. Yes, sir. Impure thoughts. Okay? Okay. Pure thoughts. Okay. Okay. Wonderful. Yes. Thank you.
A lot of times, at least I associate the mind with our brain. And brain dead, there's nothing happening there. So
right.
Every part of us is controlled by that brain or by that mind.
Right. We are. Absolutely. Every part of us. I was a little, you know, you hear things, you hear myths, and one of the myths I've always heard about the brain, about the mind, is we use 10% of it. You know, that's a myth, you know. And so that's not true. That's been proven. That's most, even when we're asleep, most of our brain is actively doing something. And so Scripture tells us then, you know, use all of our mind. And so I immediately kind of went to that myth. I thought, well, how do we do that if we can't use but 10% of it, you know? But really, that's not, you know, true. And so, yes, absolutely. Thank you for that. What I have done is I've taken five different, ways. That's a bad word. Five different capabilities, aspects, or whatever you want to say of the human mind. I've taken five, and I want to talk about those tonight. And I want to talk about how we can think about these five and how we can really dedicate them all for the kingdom and for the service to king, for the kingdom. First one, I'm just going to give you five of them, then we'll go through one at a time. Reason, knowledge, memory, imagination, and focus. Let's just think about the mind tonight. How can we strengthen all of those five things? Reason, knowledge, memory, imagination, and focus. Let's talk about reason first. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 20 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord." And he goes on, "Though your skins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So the prophet says, "Come now and let us reason together." I think that's very interesting. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica." Okay, we know this story, where the synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in, as was his custom, and on 3 days, three Sabbath days, what did he do? Reasoned with them. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving those things. So what is reason? Reason I've got here is the power of the mind to think, understand, and form judgments. Okay? So, reason is powerful. But I think as powerful as reason is, we take all the information around us. And we weigh these things, and we stack them up, and we move them around. And as powerful as reason is, it leans, though, on what we know. That's a big thought. It was a big thought for me when I was typing it down today, right? It is a big thought. It's a big idea. It's as powerful as reason is. It leans, though, on what we know. But faith is greater than reason. Okay? Faith is greater than reason because it looks to what we think may be impossible, the things that we hope in, the evidence of things that are there, and we trust in God in those ways. So man is to use reason based on the reason of God found in the Scripture. That's what we're to do, having the mind of Christ. Our minds, our reasoning, our thinking is to kind of be based on the way he thinks and operates. We're supposed to at least try for that then. For example, on one of the occasions, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to Jesus. You remember this in Matthew chapter 16. And they came to him to test him, right? Asking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus responded by referring to their ability to discern signs and talking about the weather and things. He says, "Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times?" And he goes on in verse 3, he says, and he talks about this. He says, "No, you have all these ability to look around at the signs of the sky and to know these certain things, but you cannot discern the sign of the times." So obviously, he was noting how people use reason to come to conclusions. But the follower's mind, the follower of the Messiah, would conclude then the things of God. And that should be our focus, I guess. Let's talk about wisdom real quickly because we're talking about reason. And I think our young people are talking about Solomon tonight. I'm not going to get a whole lot into Solomon unless we need to, but I certainly can. But wisdom, though, is defined, definition I found. You know, you go to a dictionary, you find, when I was a kid, right, there was one dictionary. What was it? Webster's, right? Now, if you dictionary online, there are 20 million dictionaries, and they all word things a little bit differently, don't they? I mean, it's frustrating to me. So a dictionary, I looked this up today, and thinking about this, I thought, okay, wisdom. How about this wisdom? It's pragmatic reasoning that helps people navigate through life's challenges. Okay, so wisdom. How to use, then, the knowledge that we have. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9, besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. This would be, I think, reason. So, you know, I think about reason and faith, and just from the small levels, I think, is there a conflict between reason and faith? I mean, reason's based on things we know, and faith is based on things we, you know, faith, we think for, hope for. And so we think maybe there might be a little bit of conflict. There's really not. There's not a conflict between the two. Isaiah 1:18 says, tells us that God told us to reason. We looked at that. God told us to reason. We're to have good reason for what we believe, and we're to be ready always to give a good reason to other people for the hope that is in us. So we give that reason. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And what that is, people need reasons. They're trying to shape their faith, their belief, their understanding. So on the other hand, we're supposed to have faith. We're supposed to trust in God and not with our own understanding. Paul tells us in the book of Romans 1:17, the just shall live then by faith. So our faith then is really, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Does our faith come first or does our reason come first? Really, our faith, I believe, comes first, because if we're going to believe and hope in the things based on the things that we see and the things that we reason, I mean, that faith has to at least be there in some part. Because there has to be a faith there is faith that there is a power. There has to be a faith, let me say that again, there has to be a faith at least that there is a power somewhere that works to help all of our reason make sense. Did that make any sense at all? Everybody's going, I don't know. Basically, we've got to just believe in something to believe that the things around us and the things we find in Scripture and God's commands and things that we trust in, those things are there, and we can reason through those things, but they really have to be powered by faith. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, let if there is any excellence and any worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And I like that phrase, let your mind dwell. I think that indicates concentration. It indicates study. It's a command that such study, though, is to be continuous. Let your mind dwell. Let your mind think on these things. You know, how many times do we think about these things on Sunday? A week goes by, and then we think about those things on Sunday again. Yes, sir.
Be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So from that standpoint, thinking about Josh last night saying sometimes we just need to look at things from God's perspective when he was talking about the love David and Jonathan had instead of our physical perception. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the mind from God's perception, if that Greek word dinoia or whatever, mind, if it's the attitude that God, that Jesus had, that he was willing to give up this,
right,
this most wonderful place.
Right. Which I don't understand why still, but go ahead. Yeah. Why would he give heaven up? I don't know. I don't, for me. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying that we need to think in terms of the mind, let our mind be like Jesus' mind.
That's right. We get in trouble, don't we? That's right. We get in trouble when we try to make sense of God with our mind and our thinking, don't we? So we have to have that faith that there's a greater power. I think that's what, you know, thank you for saying it and putting it that way. Thank you so much for that. So let your mind dwell, you know, concentrate or study. So this continuous study, we're supposed to continuously ponder, think about the things of God. And that's what our brother's saying here, that we should always have the mind of something bigger than ourselves. I mean, if he's my king, then he reigns, right, all the time. And so I have to have that kind of mindset. So there it is. That's the first word we were talking about, and that is reason. So let's go into the second one that I mentioned, and that is knowledge. Let's talk about knowledge for just a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and 16 says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." To love God with all of our mind involves us taking time to fill our mind with God's Word. Okay? Now let me kind of illustrate this a little bit. There is a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. True or false? There's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. True. Okay, true. I understand this a little bit better when I think back on May 4th, 1996. It was my birthday. I turned 21 years old, and I had a lot of friends graduating from Freed Hardeman. I found out about 2 weeks prior to that I needed to go another semester. So I said, I'm not going to graduation. I don't want to go home. I'm doing something on that day that I've never done before. A good friend of mine named Alex said, hey, let's go jump out of an airplane. I said, let's go. So Alex and about 4 or 5 of us went up to Paris, Tennessee, and we're jumping out of an airplane. And I'm not really scared, other than the fact that it was the first airplane I had ever flown in. And so that's an interesting trivia question with kids, for them to try to figure out. So we get way up there, about 8,000 feet, and I look down, and really, honestly, the earth kind of looks like this carpet. I think, I'm 8,000 feet. I've never been in a plane before. I should be really scared. I'm not really scared, though. I don't know why. There's a lot of noise, and I'm really excited about this, but I'm looking down at earth, and I'm seeing like what I think are fields and roads. I think, that's no big deal. Let's go. Let's jump. And so we jumped. And we fell probably over 7,000 feet, 7,500 feet, and I'm just a few hundred feet above the ground. And you know what kicked in? You know what changed about, you know, I started getting sick. I thought, I'm fixing to throw up right here. I'm fixing to just right here hurl over everything. Right? You know what changed about? I began to get my depth perception. And I began to notice that the tree was high. And I began to notice a little bit that those cars that I wouldn't jump off of that were 8 feet tall looked like micro cars, a little toy we played with as kids, I think. So what changed was I began to see the depth in that. And it scared me. And it messed with me a little bit. So I want you to think about reading the Bible. I want you to think about studying the Bible. How many daily Bible readers? Don't raise your hand if you just pretend. Just lie. No, don't lie. Daily Bible readers. All right? Some of the hands are going up saying, well, I try to every day. All right? How many daily Bible studiers are there? Yes. Man, faithful. Man, that's great. I tell you what. There is a difference, though, between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. We're talking about knowledge. It's so different because we all know memory verses, but then you begin studying. You begin learning a little bit deeper. You see the aspects. You see the details. You see the direction of God. You kind of see really how it all fits together and how it works. And it's incredible. And in a way, it's kind of scary. It's like, wow, that's rich. This is rich stuff. So there's a difference. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling or rightly dividing the word of truth." So we need knowledge to do that. We need discernment to do that. We need to understand then, you know, if I'm going to have all this knowledge to understand, if I'm going to throw verses around like I know what I'm talking about, I better understand the context of the verses. All right? So we understand this helps our knowledge. The Christian mind, and I talk until somebody else talks. Did I say that? Okay, so I seldom look up like I'm supposed to. So, and look for your hands. So go if you want to go. The Christian mind should strive for truth. John chapter 8:31-32, we know this passage. Jesus therefore was saying of those Jews who have believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So abiding in his word implies a continual dedication again to the scriptures and searching the scriptures. This brings knowledge, facts, information, and awareness. We read just a few moments ago from the book of Acts, and it was after the world was turned upside down in Thessalonica that the brothers send Paul and Silas away to Berea then, in Acts chapter 17. And the Bereans were more noble, right? More noble-minded. They were more compared to Thessalonians. And so there was a little bit of a difference that they noticed. These folks received the word with all eagerness, and they examined the scriptures daily, right, to see if things were so. So they were increasing, what that tells me, they were increasing more than in their knowledge. We should strive to know God. We should study the Bible to increase our knowledge. Third word tonight is memory. Memory. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. So the word of God is a power in your life, okay? Is it? Let me ask, is it a power in your life? And so we all say, yes, it is. God's power in your life is there to help you against sin. God's power is purposed. And the purpose of that is, I guess, to fight sin. That we need to hide it in our hearts, that we put it there, stow it away to be used. It's a power to help us stay clean. It's a power for us to be faithful, to be obedient. I mean, God's Word is a power in every way in our lives. And so when someone comes into our life every day, maybe they're complaining. They're complaining at things that we think, that's just not that big of a deal. Why are they complaining about all these things? Why is this person always complaining? And we all know somebody like this, and sometimes we're guilty of this, right? And sometimes we lose sight, and we complain about things, and we fuss, and we go on and on and on and on. And I wonder if sometimes when people come in and they're complaining, maybe they're constantly stumbling along, and they're following in their life, and they're not making a lot of sense. And I wonder if maybe it's really that they don't know the Bible like they should. Maybe their strength and their hope and their faith and their trust is not in God like it should, because all the things that sometimes we complain and go on about don't really matter. They just don't really matter. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I think about Jesus when he was tempted there by Satan. He was on a high mountain. He was at the temple. He was there. In each case, you remember how Jesus replied when Satan tempted him? What did he say? What were the first things he said each time? It is written. We know that. It is written. So if we're going to pull it from our heart, then we need to know it. Right? We need to know it. Fight temptation with Scripture. John 14:26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So isn't that encouraging that we have the Holy Spirit? Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. So we want to have a good memory. We want to remember God's words, God's commands. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I mean, wow, if you're having a bad day, think about that. There is none like Him. He's bigger than any problem I've got. He's bigger than any issue I've got going on. There is nothing and no one like God. I think about memory, and I think about all the times in the Bible it seemed like people didn't remember. And I think about Judges. And I think about, oh man, those poor Israelites. You know, they're in and out with a relationship with God. Sometimes they're rebellious. Sometimes it's like they just don't remember silly things, simple things. And they just lost their memory. They forgot all that God did for them. They forgot all that God has brought them through to their point in their life. And so God sends people back time and time and time to bring them back.
Continue.
It's hard to forget if we're continuing, isn't it? You know, it's when we set those things down. That's right. Timothy was shown from a child all the ways. And so continue in those things. Yes, he did. Yes. Thank you very much. He learned those things. And the way we keep those things in our forefront of our minds then is to continue in those things, right? That's right. Thank you very much. Thank you. I think about things that help us with our memory of things. I think about our kids tonight. They're in their classes. And some, I don't know, I guess they do learning centers here. Is that what they do? Is that what you do here, learning centers? So we think about all the different kinds of learning. We think classroom learning. Some kids learn a lot from just sitting and listening. Some will enjoy learning centers so they can kind of see it. There's a visual, and I get that. I'm a visual learner, visual guy. And so I appreciate those tools that are in place to kind of help them with their memorization of stories. I think about active learning. I think ways we can get kids involved, actively doing things. You know, I love the VBS songs, you know, deep and wide, you know, the wise man built his house upon us. All these things help us to learn, help our kids learn those things. And so maybe, you know, those are not some bad habits to revisit for ourselves. Imagination. Let's talk about imagination. And this is the one that I think I sit back and look at the stars and go, wow, God is so big. Wow, how does he do this? And our minds kind of explode a little bit. So God has given us the power to imagine. I mean, you know, you've been in Bible class and somebody, or you've been talking with a friend, and maybe it's someone has lost a loved one. And then someone, or maybe you say, man, can you imagine how beautiful heaven must be? And we think about how beautiful heaven is. And what does that do? I mean, what does it do to you when you think about how beautiful heaven is? What do you think? How does that help you? Does it increase your hope? Your confidence? Does it comfort you? So we use our imagination to think then about heaven. When I try to imagine the love of God, I said just a few minutes ago, we were talking that Jesus came from the throne room of heaven to earth. And, you know, maybe I'm a weak Christian, and maybe I'm confessing that right here in front of everyone. I don't know. But he said, you know, we talked just a few moments ago, the brother said, talking about Jesus coming from heaven down to here. And I don't know why Jesus did that. Well, yeah, he loves you. That doesn't tell me why he did that. Because he can love me, and I can still just not understand how awesome and wonderful that love is. I just can't imagine being loved that much, that he left the throne room of heaven to come here so that I might have the opportunity to accept that grace, obey the gospel, and go back with him. I don't get it. Am I the only one, or am I just weak? You can say weak, by the way. You're nodding your head. Am I weak, or am I the only one? You're with me. Okay, I got one. There's one more with me in here. Okay, I don't know where the rest of you are. He's nodding his head, though. You're with me a little bit, I think. So yeah, can you imagine then the love of God? And here our mind is working. You see our mind? We're strengthening our mind. So imagine the love of God. Imagine God's ways. Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. I liked that version. I like that version of that verse. It's the New Living Translation. I like the way it was put. It was very simple there. His ways, his thoughts are completely different from ours. His ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. And I have tried to imagine God's ways many times. I've tried to understand his providence. I've tried to understand why he's been so good to me, and I can't figure it out. But I like to imagine. I like to think about it. I imagine the heavens. We're looking, Psalm 8:4-3 says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, when we sit back and we look at the stars down in Mississippi, I don't know if it's like this up here or not. We're living in town now. But down in Mississippi, we lived out of town, and there was not a street light in our neighborhood. And it was beautiful, especially on the coldest winter nights, to go out there and sit in the cul-de-sac of my, right in front of my house or behind my home, behind the trees in the soybean field, listen to the coyotes howling. And you look up, and it's just the brightest sky. Not a cloud in the skies, and you just see stars, I mean, forever. Forever. I would get my little Google Sky Map app out on my phone, and there's an app you can download. There are probably several now. And you just hold your phone up to the sky, and it knows what you're looking at. You point it at the moon, it shows the moon, it says moon. It shows stars and things all in the sky, and then you kind of put it there, you look at it, and you look at your phone, and that star's got a number, and it's got a name. You think, wow, look at all these stars. I don't even see all these stars up there that the app is showing me. I just kind of like sitting out there and just kind of thinking, man, you know, God's pretty awesome, you know? I can't imagine His glory. Can you imagine heaven? Revelation 21. You know, we have everything. I think God gave us everything that He could give us in our human understanding to try to get a glimpse of how beautiful heaven is going to be. I don't think we can really understand it. I know the words written down. I know the words that John wrote down for us, Jesus showed. I get all that. But I think that that in Revelation 21 is really God's best attempt to tell us how wonderful and how beautiful heaven is with the words that we have. And I just don't think that the words that we have do it any justice. So it helps me then to imagine and to dream a little bit about in heaven. And we sing that song, can you imagine how beautiful heaven must be? Last of all, I'll try to get this one in too. Focus. Let's talk about focus for just a minute. All right, let's talk about focus. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Focus. Focus. I've got a little bit of that ADD thing, you know. I just know I do. A squirrel, you know. Huh? Oh, yeah. You know, I bounce around sometimes. So Rennie, my wife, she's awesome. She says, okay, I'm waiting on you. Okay, now look, I need you to get milk and eggs. Bouncing around, you know. And sometimes she says, focus. Think a little bit. Focus. So we're to focus. We're to think about these things. And shouldn't we stay focused then on the ways then of God? So how do we then love God with all of our mind? I believe that we use reason, we use knowledge, we use memory, imagination, and I think we can use focus to do all those things. Before we have a prayer and dismiss, any comments, any follow-up, any help with any of this, or maybe you have something, a different direction you want to go completely with this. Anyone? Anyone? Sing with me, then we'll have a prayer. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this Vacation Bible School. We thank you for the teaching of your word that is going on in the lives of these children with us this week. And we're thankful for your word that we may look at that and study. And we're thankful for our minds that we might use our minds to your glory. Please help us, Father, as we grow in wisdom and understanding and application of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.